I still can't get over the heat action where you shove pickled plums down an enemy's throat.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. What an insult to add injury.
I just think developers knew it was hilarious, so they put a lot of diligence into that move.
Well, I'd be sour if someone did that to me.
You know what's tough about playing Ishin?
The difficulty of the bosses, the overwhelming number of side activities.
No, the fact that you can get into a full-scale 3-on-3-to-1 sword fight, but you still have to pay extra for ice and your sake.
Ugh, some things about 19th century Japan are just non-negotiable.
I tried to figure out why the Shinsengumi are called the Mibu Wolves.
It's probably because they're fierce, loyal, and constantly hunting the enemies of the shogunate.
No, it turns out it's because they refuse to use silverware and they'll only eat their meals off the floor.
So their loyalty to tradition extends even to their dining etiquette?
All right, so we all know you spend the whole game training to be the greatest swordsman in Japan, but what's the most valuable skill you learn?
Is it mastering the sword style? The heat actions?
Nope. Perfectly sorting radishes and cooking miso soup for Haruka in the Another Life mode.
That side hustle is the real path to inner peace.
Now this is a story all about how Matt's life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just pet your cat, and I'll tell you how Matt became the Prince of Backtrack. In Western Florida, born and raised, in his bedroom is where Matt spent most of his days, chilling out, maxing, relaxing all cool and all, playing Nintendo outside of the school, when his homeboy called, who had a podcast show, said, "Join this site, give it a go." Matt wrote a couple reviews, then paused, took a crack, and said, "You're recording a podcast with Kelly called Backtrack." He called for an Uber, and when it came near, the license plates had cats in it and mice in the mirror. If anything, he could say this car caused a fuss, but he thought, "Nah, forget it, your home's to Kansas." He got to Kelly's house about 8 or 9, and he yelled to the Uber, "Yo, Holmes, just in time." He looked at Kel's kingdom, and he knew it'd be whack to sit by the throne of the Queen of Backtrack.
Hello and welcome to RPG Backtrack, your regular deep dive into your favorite RPGs. We are a production of RPGamer.com, bringing you such fine podcasts like RPG Cast, your weekly RPG news show, Q&A Quest, your weekly RPG feedback show, and us, your bi-weekly RPG nostalgia show. I'm your host, Kelly Ryan, and with me, as always, my podcast partner in crime, the Ryoma to my Soji, Mr. Matt Mason.
Of course, I mean, I'm a wild dancer style most of my life, so you finally nailed the intro.
Yay. And with me, I've got a couple of samurai hanging out. We've got Josh.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Ryan McCarthy.
I'm just like the swordsman style. Boring, but I sure I'm useful.
You're a timeless classic. It's not boring. You're a timeless classic.
No, timeless classic. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
And David.
Wandering Ronin, barely got here in time.
And Pascal.
Oh, yeah. I heard it was going to be drunken podcast style, so.
You haven't been drinking?
I mean, I prepared ahead of time.
Oh, okay.
And we are talking about Like a Dragon Ichin tonight. A game that I never thought we would get in the U.S. until the Yakuza series apparently got popular in the past decade.
Me and the 5 other Kenzan fans cry out for justice.
Hey, it finally happened.
Yeah, it was For the longest time, it was like this one was the lost one, and then there was the zombie one that was also apparently lost, but nobody
No,
seems
we
to
never
be.
lost that one. We got that one when it was new. Yeah.
Okay. So, we did get the zombie one
Yep.
in the US?
Yes.
Yeah, it
Yes.
took five forever to come here because Dead Souls did so poorly.
Okay. Well, that was news to me because I do not remember that coming out.
It's not very good.
No.
I've
Yeah.
heard as such.
I definitely remember it exists. So that
I bought it when it was new, but no one else did.
Yep.
I never got to it.
I think that's
You
one of
weren't
the
missing
ones I
much.
picked up in a Kmart clearance bin for like $10.
Oh yeah, that was on clearance for everywhere forever.
Yeah.
Wow, that Kmart, that goes to show how old that one is.
Oh yeah.
I want to say that's like a 2010 or so game.
Yeah.
Okay,
But where
well,
does Isshin fit in to the
where?
original
Isshin was
release?
a PS4 launch game.
Yeah, PS3 slash PS4 game, so it bridged the two.
Well, like where does it fit into the Yakuza series? Like in as far as
Just
Japanese
after
would.
Zero.
I think it was before Zero.
It's either just before or just after.
All right, so the Kiryu story had wrapped up at that point.
Nope.
No, it didn't.
Six had
That
not
was
come out
before
yet.
six. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, when you play Isshin, you can tell that it's based off of the pre-Dragon Engine games.
Then I gotta be honest, I kind of like playing it here, like where I played it, based on like the US release better, because I don't think I would have wanted to take a side trip with a diff. It's kind of like, are you ready for the finale in Kiryu's story? Well, just kidding. Here's this side game you're gonna get instead.
I mean, they got five and then zero, which is another side trip.
Yeah, but it's an amazing side trip. So you're right. You're
Such a good
technically
one.
correct, but I guess I barely even consider that a side trip because it's so good.
But this game was very well received at the time. But yeah, there was no appetite to bring any of the Like a Dragon games over at the time, and especially not the historical ones. The other historical one is the other one that we're probably never going to get because they already skipped it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sort
Yeah.
of under the impression that Yakuza slash Like a Dragon didn't get huge until very recently.
Zero was kind of the one that
Yeah,
took
it came
off.
from
Yeah.
Zero. Like, Zero was big, but it was also that they really needed to break other markets because, like, a game of the scale and budget that they try to put into these was not going to do well if it could only sell in Japan. But yeah, so this is.
I
Go
felt
ahead.
like it
Oh, go
used to be like it was real. Yeah, I felt like I felt like Japan used to be like easily the biggest market for these, and then that just changed over time.
Like it's still, obviously a core part of the market, but
Yeah.
China, Korea, and like North America are all very big markets for it at this point. You can tell how much they care about a market by when they start doing stunt casting of actors for it. So like Zero has in the Chinese version, it has stunt casting for some of the characters, and like Infinite Wealth has stunt casting for American actors like Danny Trejo in it.
I feel like I'm gonna probably not remember this game for too much longer. Like it's just gonna kind of drift into like the nebulous nothingness. I'm glad I played it, and that's it. I mean, the only other Yakuza game that I previously like kind of felt that way about was Like a Dragon, which is
Oh,
not
that's
one of my
wild.
favorites.
Like a Dragon is up there with two for me, which is two and Like a Dragon are my favorites.
I think Zero's still my favorite, and also Like a Dragon's good. I mean, I enjoyed this one all right. But I mean, I finished this like less than an hour ago is the thing. I was like literally cutting it so close. Like I had to play it so much in the past 2 days just to finish it on time.
Oh yeah, that
I
always
respect
sucks.
that, but that's also terrifying.
It's bad. It's bad to do that.
But
But who's gonna have the freshest memory here? I guess
oh,
we'll
I
find.
definitely am.
I guess we'll
Well,
find out after
I
we
know my
take our
memory's pretty
break.
bad, so
Yeah, but we weren't talking about whether it was good. We said it was fresh.
You can have some fresh durian fruit. It's still gonna smell like shit.
Well, why don't we take our first musical break, go get some pickled durians, and when we come back, we will just jump right in. And welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are talking about Like a Dragon Ishin, released originally for the PS3 and PS4 on February 22nd, 2014. Then nearly 9 years later, we got the same game remastered for PS4 and PS5 and the Xboxes and PC. So thought that was kind of an interesting little bookend there. Brought in the PS4, came out during the PS4. Left the PS4.
PS4 lasted forever.
Yeah.
You say lasted like it's dead.
I still end up saying PS4 games on RPG Cast for release dates, so it's the little system that won't die.
Like, I mean, making things to a spec that the PS4 can't handle them is impractical for most developers.
But, when it was re-released, it was made in the Unreal Engine 4 and received a worldwide release. Also the first game in the series to use Like a Dragon as the title, as opposed to the way Yakuza 7 was, where Yakuza 7 Like a Dragon. So that saw that changeover. And I was honestly gobsmacked when I saw that this was announced, because I didn't think we were ever going to get the samurai game.
They had done a couple of surveys that had kind of hinted at this in the years leading up to it. So there had been like some hope. But yeah, this was always one that we thought might stay in Japan forever.
And as mentioned, I was just incensed that we did not get Kenzan first.
I know.
Yeah, I know, right? Like,
I mean, samurai stuff has been kind of hot because of the Ghost of Tsushima that was a success.
Kenzan is also a samurai game.
So I guess you could say that they were trying to kind of strike while the iron was hot as far as samurai games go and bring us this one. And yeah, unfortunately I did not get a chance to get to it this year because I've been super busy, but you guys can sell me on it.
Who's going to sell this game the hardest?
Like the tough thing about this is that, like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a fairly middle of the road Like a Dragon game.
This is not a favorite. Is this anyone's favorite? Probably not.
No, like, probably not. I mean, the things it does well are the things that the Yakuza games, when they're well designed, do well. Like, it has a very good sense of place. You know, the 1860s Kyoto is just like a fun place to be in, much like, you know, like the versions of Tokyo, you know, the red light district of Tokyo and Osaka. Yeah, exactly.
Dotonbori.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, to me, that's like the best part of the game, like that first time when you're exploring the Kyoto during the day and then it turns to night and all the lanterns are lit up and it's gorgeous. There's all the people in the period costumes walking around. It feels like you're there in a totally different time, in a totally different place. It transports you. That part of the Yakuza game, like, that this thing nails.
And then it gets silly because you start playing baseball with like cannonballs.
Yeah, because when I was kind of looking into stuff pre-show, I thought that it was just, well, the Kazuma family in Edo period, and then reading that basically all of the Yakuza characters that you know and love are being digital actors playing his historical figures.
Yeah, there's a few things that are weird about that. So the first thing is, like, they love doing that because it's their excuse to bring back certain characters who are super dead. Like, Ryuji shows up basically immediately in this. But the other thing is, they don't just do the digital actor thing. They recast a bunch of them between the version that originally came out and the version we got. Like, they changed a bunch of them to be from like Zero and Like a Dragon, which hadn't come out when this came out initially. Like, it was a very like odd decision, but they decided that, like, if they were going to remake it, they were going to use characters that were more recent and that people might be more familiar with.
That makes sense, though. Mm-hmm. Especially if some of those characters are more relevant to games that had just come out, as opposed to ones from 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think the original favor is 4 and 5, which I suppose makes sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's one of those things. I remember people, like, having, like, the deep nerds of Yakuza were having, like, opinions about, like, the quote-unquote recastings.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, they had the recasting of the, like, who's that guy from Yakuza 3 that people have?
Rikia?
Rikia?
Yeah, Rikia.
Yeah,
that's... If Rikia is the one that sort of looks up to Kiryu, or are you thinking of the villain one that's getting a new...
Yeah, I was thinking Rikia, because I remember that's like, oh no, he's not the same. And I get it, because...
he's gone.
I definitely had that reaction too.
Yeah, although that was in Kenzan 3, that's more specific to, like, that is just the same character, rather than took like this weird, like, meta recasting.
I was a little, like, of mixed opinion about them using any familiar faces, to be honest. Like, I liked it in some ways, but especially early on, it really threw me off and kind of took me out of the... I mean, the way the story is introduced in this game, you have to come to terms with a lot of stuff pretty early on, or try to, like, figure out stuff, I guess, as you go pretty early on, and then having to also try to match names to other games that I've played in the past, and who was who in what game and how they related to each other, even though that isn't necessarily applicable to this game. I feel like that detracted a little bit and made the beginning stages more difficult than they needed to be, like, mentally.
It's definitely something that, like, the Ryuga Gotoku Studios, like, considers to be, like, a key part of these, like, spin-off Yakuza games, because, like, the Fist of the North Star one does the same thing, and it's very strange.
Like, case in point, when Ryoma joins the Shinsengumi and gets, during the first captain's meeting, before they, you know, start dying off, when the room is filled with, I forget how many, let's, like, 8 or 9 captains that you've never met before in this game, and they all are introduced in the same scene by name, so you have to learn their names, and at the same time, your brain is trying to go a mile a minute of, oh, wait, I know that face. Who is that? And what did he just say? I kind of missed it, because I'm thinking about where I know that face from. And like that kind of deal. I know that isn't every scene in the game, but at moments like that, I would have probably just done better with seeing, I don't know, new faces altogether. Throw in Majima and who's his big friend? I can't remember now.
Are you thinking Sajima?
Sajima.
Yeah, throw in Majima and Sajima. I'm good with that. Like, the main stays like that. And I really like some of the other characters. Like, I'm sure we'll talk about that later. Like, their faces are phenomenal in some cases, but it just, you know, I don't know. It was too much for my brain to handle, I guess.
It's like a weird mix of, like, nostalgia, but then you're trying to just keep all, like you said, trying to keep all the characters, all the different names straight, and your brain just keeps going back to, like, wait, no, that person is from, you know, Yakuza 5. Mm. Like, no, what's their name? And this game has an abundance of characters coming out of the woodworks.
Yeah, and I do, again, I like the characters. Oh, the other thing is not being terribly familiar with, like, the setting. So I'm trying to keep straight new names, tie them to old names, and also try to understand the plot as it's unfolding. And I don't think the game really takes that many pains to kind of like fill you in on necessary knowledge, like as a Westerner, to what, you know, what
yeah,
everything
one of
is
the,
that they're talking about.
One of the fucked up things here is that, like, if you were Japanese, like, the assumption would be you have heard way too much about the Bakumatsu Rebellion and you do not care. Which makes it even weirder because this game is also, like, doing weird things to history and has, like, some real weird twists.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, this is not really that far in the distant past for Japanese history. You know,
this would be like if a game had to take pains to explain to you the Civil War.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by comparison, the entirety of the Like a Dragon, like, main series is, I think, far, far simpler to comprehend than this one spin-off game in plot.
Yeah.
I'll always refer to every character by their original name. Like, at some point today, I'll probably mention, oh, it was nice to see Akiyama again. What's his name in this game? Don't know.
I think it's Katsura or something.
Sure, but the point is, he's Akiyama. Like, by casting those faces, that's just who he is. Yeah.
It's like when you're explaining a movie to people and that they haven't seen the movie, so you just say the actors' names as if they were the characters.
Yeah, I guess kind of like that.
Yeah.
Because I personally would only be able to see Kiryu and Majima as those roles.
Yeah.
You got to have them. And maybe you guys can fill me in on something, because there is a question I have related to casting. Maybe it's not a question, but a gripe. I don't know. I don't understand, unless it's for legal reasons, why Kiryu's brother was not Nishiki.
I certainly doubt that it's a legal reasons thing, because if they had wanted to just use his voice actor, voices Ichiban.
Yeah.
Who, Nishiki?
Yeah,
Nishiki.
Oh, no, he's Nishiki. Ichiban, too. No,
I didn't know that.
Ichiban and Nishiki have the same VA.
Oh, so now Ichiban is Kiryu's brother. New wrinkle in my head, cannon.
Listen, no, listen, but, Ichiban is what happens if the carp finally becomes a dragon. There's your Japanese joke.
I got it, only because of Magikarp.
I don't understand why Takechi wasn't Nishiki. Because that would have really, I think, helped me, like, early on kind of get their relationship in my head. They're, you know, adopted. I mean, they are maybe some of the closest matches to the original Yakuza. Adopted brothers. He ends up kind of betraying him. Spoiler for the ending. They have to fight each other.
Yeah, I think
other.
That's why they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it wasn't, I don't know, was anybody shocked when that revelation occurred?
I wasn't surprised, but I could see why they, like, especially because it's another one of those things that's like, this is a weird thing you're doing to history.
Yeah. Like,
it might just be because I have a soft spot for Nishiki from the original two game, from Zero and...
from Zero, yeah.
We need to get more Viz so back.
Yeah.
I wanted him in that role. I gotta say, I miss him.
And actually, I played Yakuza 1 in its PS2 incarnation first, so all I think when I see Nishiki is, God, fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's way more annoying to you, I think.
Yeah, I was introduced to him through Zero, so... It definitely hits different for me.
Yeah.
Like, what order you played them in will very much affect your thoughts on Nishiki.
Yeah.
You could tell which one I played first then. Anyway, that's my one gripe with the casting. That being said, Takechi still, like, his actor has a very cool face, as do, like, a lot of the villains in this game. I really just enjoy just villains or just any character with, like, awesome faces.
And they put so much into the facial animations in these games.
So something I've kind of wanted to know right off the bat is that, does this game tell a story from history, or is it basically historical fiction with Yakuza actors?
It's a heavily fictionalized version of the Bakumatsu Rebellion.
Okay.
And you know what that is, right? So we don't have to continue discussing that.
It sounds familiar, but you might have to enlighten me.
There are two things that are going to show up in Samurai Media. It is going to be like the 1500s circa Miyamoto Musashi, and it's going to be the Bakumatsu Rebellion. Those two things are going to show up every time you see Samurai Media, and you'll never guess what the first Yakuza Samurai game was.
It was the other one.
Yep. Kiryu in that is Miyamoto Musashi. This time he's Ryoma, Sakamoto Ryoma, but like the actual like historical things happening here are out of my wheelhouse. I could not give you a succinct version of them, but yeah, this is just the second most famous samurai thing. Like, if you played Live Alive, the samurai chapter of that is also this period.
Okay. Well, okay, my frame of reference for samurai history, and this is going to sound stupid, is the Tom Cruise movie, because my husband complains about that movie endlessly. Is that the rebellion you're talking about?
Last Samurai? I have not seen that. Let me take a look. It's definitely of the same era.
Okay.
But
so from what I understand, and I just finished the game this week, not as recently as Ryan, but even this
like
recently,
I played this when it came out, so I am working off older memories.
Fun. You probably have a better understanding than I do, but from what I gather, it has a lot to do with the class system in Japan, kind of rising up against the imperial rulers and more or less gaining status and rights, or equal rights for all, is kind of the idea behind it.
Okay.
No, don't say okay. I'm guessing as much as I'm explaining here.
As ever with anything like this, it's with any sort of like big armed rebellion, like armed disagreement of this nature, a bunch of people with some power want more power and are using using various causes to further that interest. But don't worry about it. There's a lot of high-minded ideas around it in the same way that you would with any sort of conflict like this.
Mm-hmm. But you can still play the game and have a just what
you
time.
If you just play the game and just take what you see for what it is, there is still like a story being told here that is reasonably just like, yep, that's a Yakuza story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's Kiryu trying to avenge, you know, his father figure being killed.
That makes sense.
See how you're just saying Kiryu there?
Oh, yep. See, there you go. Shit.
Yeah, like you know, like yes, if you knew who like Sakamoto Ryoma was, like that might mean something. But since none of us does, it's Kiryu.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of other like cool wrinkles that are removed from the whole like historical aspects. Like halfway through the story, another Sakamoto Ryoma shows up. Doesn't he actually show up? You don't ever see him for quite a while, but he appears in town and starts having a hand in different events that are happening. And there's a mystery surrounding. How is there another person going by the same name? Who is it? And, you know, what are their goals? And of course, Ryoma himself is going under an assumed identity because he's trying to stay off the radar because he's being hunted for the murder of his father. So there's a lot of like personal story as well, but it constantly is interwoven with the historical stuff. So it probably would have been a good idea to do something I didn't do, which is occasionally maybe like jump down like a Wikipedia rabbit hole to get some background.
And in fairness to the game, I mean, they constantly do have like a pretty extensive like dictionary kind of or encyclopedia that you can that like triggers like whenever someone's name comes up, you can I forget which button it was, depended on the system, but it would then bring up like a little explanation of who the person was or what the event was that they're referring to. So they were trying to kind of like help you out.
That's there, but I didn't find that extensive or helpful.
Yeah,
I've seen better in other games. That to me didn't add much.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It didn't feel like detailed enough is the thing.
The in-game like encyclopedia often I feel like it just kind of said, you know, it activated when a place or a town was mentioned by name or a prefecture or a area or what have you, and it would just kind of say, this is referring to the northern area of the city, which was later renamed Tokyo, or you know what have you. That doesn't really help me like put any events into context, though.
In conclusion, you might get more fun if you also decide that you're really into Japanese history and do some independent research.
Yeah,
I imagine that this game is mostly for the Assassin's Creed fans. that want a Yakuza experience.
I mean, if this kind of thing like interests you, this could be a really cool game to like save until
yeah, like
you're.
this is really cool if you mm-hmm. if this is a period of history you're interested in.
Yeah, or like play it alongside of reading something related to that period because you were already interested in it anyway. Like this can be part of your learning arc, you know, or whatever. It's so separate from anything else related to the Yakuza series that you can easily play it 20 years later and get the same experience, probably, or mostly.
And I imagine the feeling of just getting to explore that period of Japan is kind of neat.
Yeah, like even if you don't connect with the story, the actual environment you get to run around does do a very good job of just being like, here's like beautiful late 1800s Japan.
It makes me wonder how much research they did and how accurate they got that look.
I would honestly imagine that it's as much just like trying to match the audience's expectations of what that place looked like. Mm-hmm. But whether it's 100% accurate or not, it's very pleasing to look at the visuals in the version that we got are very, very nice and absolutely sell that world, which is again honestly a lot of the appeal here.
Yeah.
I don't know, I found the world to be a little bit, I found Kyo specifically to be a little bit dull. Like running through it, which I did a lot because the game loves to send you from one end to the other, which you can take a palanquin ride from certain locations, and sometimes I did, but often I ran because I wanted to also activate side stories and things like that.
Yeah.
But the trip through city kind of funnels you through specific spots that are, I don't know, I thought were very dull. And I do think the game looks beautiful sometimes, but the city isn't one of those to me. Like, I'm sure it looks like accurate, but I didn't find it very pleasing. The times when I was most like blown away by the graphics when they wanted to look nice was like somebody, I think Josh was saying, like the facial capture is often very good. And goddamn, with the scene when Kiryu gets into the bath kind of early-ish in the game in the bathhouse.
Yeah.
That is the most gorgeous man nipple I've ever seen in a video game.
And if you ever wanted to see two naked dudes beat the hell out of each other in a Yakuza game.
And their nips get like up close, full spotlight.
You're gonna see some loving renders of Kiryu and Ryu's nips.
And they look good. I think that was the first time in the game during that scene I said, man, this is looking very nice.
Doing something for the ladies.
Do they dramatically rip their towels off?
No, because they're already in the bath. They weren't wearing any.
Okay.
They had conveniently placed clouds of steam.
Yeah, there's a lot of like sensor steam and careful camera angles.
Okay, so they Austin Powers it.
Yeah.
Did.
So, Kelly, as a matter of fact, I don't think there's any ripping of anything in this game.
It's wild. They've betrayed my expectations again.
Yeah.
A Yakuza game where they don't rip off shirts. To me, that's not a Yakuza game.
Yeah,
couldn't afford to replace them in the 1800s.
That is true.
You could go to the tailor.
That is true. Cloth was more of a commodity.
Yeah, but yeah, you do at least see them in fundoshis though, so that's something.
Yeah, you will definitely see like everything about Kiryu's body except his penis.
Yep.
Because we still need to keep at least an M rating.
Yeah. Listen, I'm sure there's patches for you if you're willing to go to the right parts of the internet.
You don't, it is on you get PC. To see the little, you don't get to see the little dragon? Oh.
Nope.
So wait, do they still have the Yakuza tattoos or is that gone?
No.
They don't.
Okay. I was just curious since it's all the same character
historically
models.
Inaccurate.
Right. No, I'm aware it's a story historically inaccurate, but I also don't know how much of a bitch it is to remove a texture.
Oh.
Yeah, it is very telling that this was the first game released in the West to go under the Like a Dragon name, since these aren't we're not playing as any Yakuza in this one,
right? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
but Yeah, no, this was the tactical time to attempt the rebrand.
Yeah.
Oh, they did a good job because wasn't this announced at the same time as the man who erased his name?
This Man Who Erased His Name and Infinite Wealth were all announced basically at the exact same time.
Okay.
Well, what else is there to say about the characters? If memory serves, they did bring back some of my favorite villains from Yakuza 1. I think, but I might be wrong, that two of the Shinsengumi generals are from Kiwami.
I think that's correct.
Played this.
Yeah, it's and I only have the character pictures in front of me here, but one of the main villains, of course, who's the like early on, he's just the Shinsengumi. What is he like? Not the tactician. He has some kind of advisor, I think, is what he goes by his title in the game. And then near the end, he kind of becomes a more mainstay antagonist. He kind of tries to. He's always trying to weasel his way into the leader position. I want to say he's definitely one of the three that there's a trio of villains that works under under Dojima in the original Yakuza, and I believe he's one of them. So is Takeda, I want to say. I didn't look this up ahead of time though. I couldn't be bothered. I didn't care that much. Yeah. What else is there to talk about? I feel like the story kind of we covered it more or less here.
I was curious about the combat and how that plays.
It's style switch. It's very post Zero.
Yeah.
I think
coming into the game, I was kind of worried because I remember the PS3 games, the combat being a little bit stiffer, and I thought this was a little bit better than I was expecting it to be.
They had definitely spent some time. They had been able to improve on it, and it helps that once again, like Ryoma has four styles that have much more distinction between them, because it's like, oh, this is sword, this is gun and sword, and all of those do very different things.
Yeah.
To me, that kind of had the side effect that I just picked one that I liked, and that's the one I leveled up and stuck with almost exclusively.
Like, yeah, I don't think that was an unintended way to play the game, even if they would have rather you didn't.
Yeah, I think I spent most of the game swapping between the sword style and then the mixed one between the gun and sword.
Yeah, I think I was doing that by the end myself.
Yeah, like,
I was just basically sword and occasionally gun, but I never really dabbled with the mix. And I completely just ignored Brawler after maybe the first like chapter or two.
Yeah,
I think the problem with Brawler is that it feels like it doesn't do much damage, so it feels like it just takes longer to defeat enemies.
Yeah,
and I had assumed that was just because I had neglected it and hadn't leveled it. But no, maybe it's that
trust
way.
Me, I tried leveling it. It really didn't do much. I feel like.
And enemies are generally
packing. If you wanted a sort of fast and risky style, you had Wild Dancer already.
Yeah.
That said, I kind of like the combat in this game, and I think
no, it feels good.
It was good. Yeah, it wasn't.
It's
it was
fine.
Too difficult. I don't really want difficult battles in Yakuza.
No, and I mean just like a ton of customization to the weapons that you equip to it as well. Way more depth than any other game basically they've ever done.
Yeah, that was really brought to the forefront. But I guess like and this is going to come up a few times, but like this, there is nothing wrong with this game. Like, it is a perfectly solid middle of the road Like a Dragon game. If you're drawn to the setting, it will do exactly what you want it to. If you missed it, there are probably other ones you also missed that you will like more.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a weird one, because you could jump in right here into this game without having played anything else, because, you know, there is no continuing storyline. But also, I don't know that it's exactly the best Yakuza game to kind of show off the series either.
Yeah. you would not play this as your first one.
I can't imagine, like, I guess imagine someone who was really into the period setting, but not into much else, finding something out of this if they had Yeah, as their first Yakuza game, but otherwise there's not really a lot of reasons to start with this one. If you
Yeah.
just want to start from something with limited continuity, you'd pick up Zero
Yes.
or Seven. Like either of
Yeah.
those would be a perfectly fine starting place, depending on if you wanted action or turn-based. But this, you know, you could, but it would really require you to be very interested in the setting.
I just imagine there being somebody out there that plays every samurai game that's ever released, putting this in their collection, and that's the only game of this series they play because of it.
I think they would be, you know, like this is a perfectly good samurai game from that standpoint.
Like as a personal like due to like my personal proclivities, like I'd rather play this than either Ghost game. Like this scratches an itch that those don't for me. But you know,
What is
it's
it?
I think it's just I think that the stories in Ghost like I didn't bother with Yote because I thought the story in Tsushima was dog shit.
Okay. So the story
Yeah.
here?
There is a more entertaining story here because I'm a Yakuza fan. So like there's at least even if I don't get everything, it's at least fun.
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh, these weirdos. The like it has a tone and style that I enjoy.
Yeah. It's entertaining.
Yeah, it's because Yakuza always has that mix of being able to undercut its own seriousness in a way that a lot of other games don't, and this definitely has that in spades. And I don't know, it just has a like the atmosphere of being in Kyoto is more interesting to me than running around the open world countryside. So that's really why I ended up liking this among the samurai games that were coming out at the time.
Because I was gonna ask if the side story still had the goofy tone of the base series.
Oh yeah,
Oh yeah.
absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
And I would say, I don't know, I can't really make a blanket statement, but they're definitely probably better than some others that I remember. Well, the thing is, I don't remember that many side stories from throughout the series. I think these are good enough to stand up with some of the others that might be like standouts as well.
I will once again say that they contrived in a baseball mini game by having you like hit cannonballs with a sword.
Yep, they sure did.
That's funny to me, though.
It's definitely got exactly the tone you would expect from any given Yakuza game. So if you did somehow end up playing this and liked that tone, you'd have plenty more to get to get to.
I wonder if that was the basis for the cannonball baseball game that they did in the recent pirate one.
The recent what one?
The pirate
Pirate Yakuza?
Yakuza, yeah.
Oh, Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii. That's quite possibly where that came from.
Because there was a mini game in that where you were hitting cannonballs with a baseball bat.
I mean that it kind of it lends itself to that game, Pirate Yakuza. It seems like that would
Yeah.
be a no-brainer too. You don't just
Yeah.
hit the cannonballs, by the way. You have to slice them in half.
Yeah, you
Oh.
have to hit them at exactly the right time.
Okay.
I mean, it is the baseball mini game. I think every mini game is in here. That you have why am I blanking on the name of singing? Oh my God.
Karaoke.
Karaoke.
Thank you so much. You've got your karaoke, and there's also traditional like Japanese dancing. I'm sure there's a name for it that I don't know. And it's all like mini game style.
Yeah, you will see like new skins on old mini games.
Yep, there's cooking, far and I am not one who ever participates in farming or cooking stuff, like those like agricultural Sims
Noted
things that show
anti-agrarian.
up, and it was really painless in this game. Like not maybe what I would call enjoyable, but like I did participate in it, and it was no skin off my back, and that's the biggest compliment I can probably give to a farming section.
Hey, Pascal.
Yeah.
Did you review Sakura of Rice and Ruin?
Yeah.
What did you give that?
Like you already know the answer to that when you're asking the question that
I
specifically.
don't know why that sticks in my head that you reviewed that
Yeah.
game. Like,
Yeah, that was
what
pretty
off
cool.
the
That had you had to spend quite a bit of time of like different steps of farming rice, and it was all in kind of like mini game fashion. That was also pretty well done. But here, even more simple than that. I mean, here
Okay.
farming is
Fair enough.
literally just you're given a plot of initially I think it's like a I don't know maybe like a 2x6 or 2x8 plot of land. And it already comes pre-planted with daikon radishes. So you don't even have to do anything. If you just walk up to it, there's a button prompt that says press X and Kiryu pulls up the daikons. And new ones just grow automatically. Like you have to have zero interaction with it if you do not want to customize the soil and what seeds are in it. But if you want, then it's as simple as you go to the grid and say, I want this vegetable to grow here and this one to grow here. And harvesting is literally just as soon as the veggies have sprouted, walk up to them, press X. That's it. That's the entirety of the farming sim. And there's a cooking mini game, and you get to send Haruka off to the village to deliver little goods that you cook and harvest, and I guess collect like items that you collect throughout the game. You can send off with her to different clients, and she'll come back with prizes and money. And I think you're slowly trying to pay off her debt. I'm not sure if it's possible to actually complete that, but that's the idea. At one point, I'm trying to remember the exact moment how it ties into the game. Somehow or another, you get taken to this like shack out in the countryside, I guess, not in downtown Kyo, and it's Haruka's, and her parents have recently died and left her with their home, but also I guess like all of their debts, and. Being Kiryu, being Ryoma, you agree to help her out with paying back her debt in exchange for basically a place to stay. Although you don't ever really stay there. You stay at the inn in town, but this is like he's renting a space in Haruka's house. And you can go there and do that stuff, or you can just let her rot in the background and continue with the other story. It makes no difference, really. It's never forced on you, I don't think.
It does come up, like the growing vegetables does come up in some of the other like side quests, though.
Oh, like where you need to get vegetables to do, I know you're going to talk about them later, but like a veggie salad, I think.
Yeah,
that's true. But that's side content. So you're definitely not forced into having to do a lot of the another life thing. Which I will say, it takes quite a while for Haruka to get introduced. And way before that, near the game's beginning, when Ryoma first shows up in Kyo and he stays at the inn, the two lady innkeepers are introduced, and I honestly did think that the younger one, who has like kind of a crush on Kiryu, I honestly thought that was this game's equivalent of Haruka.
Until she just shows up.
Yeah, until Haruka literally shows up later. I said, oh, well, then I in that case, I don't know who Oreo really is. Who she's based on. Was she ever a main series character?
I'm pretty sure she's just like original character.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Because it did have those like, I mean, at first it was, and her age is never given. She, obviously later, based on events that happened, it's implied that she is a full grown person. But early on, I wasn't so sure about that. And then it kind of took a weird turn of like, oh, she's got a crush on Kiryu, which that was kind of okay. It's when he starts reciprocating a little bit that I thought that, okay, this can't be Haruka, right? Like, this isn't what weird.
I
signed up for.
I never thought she was the Haruka equivalent.
Okay.
Thank God.
Well, see, that was this thing that I was talking about. I kept trying to match every face to somebody in the main series, and in cases like this, it probably caused like some consternation that wasn't really needed. It's also the first time I remember him ever having a love interest that actually goes somewhere.
Well, two,
he kind of did that, in two, but then they killed.
Then
him.
It went away.
Yeah, that
didn't go anywhere.
That was a weird thing.
I thought this
felt like they thought of bringing her back like three times and then gave up each time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. This felt a little bit more like fleshed out to me. It's implied that they stay together, and that's the thing now.
Well, I think that's just because, I think they were okay with doing that there because Ryoma's not literally curious. So it's like, yeah, okay, he can keep this girlfriend. It's fine.
Yeah, like, he doesn't have to live with chased. The consequences of yeah. it anyway.
There is one.
Well, Kiryu has asexual energy, so
he has a better sexual energy with some of the other male characters. And I'm not going to ruin it now, but my favorite moment, there is one character thing that I think that this game does better than the main series, but I'll save it for later.
One thing I was curious about was when I was reading about the news before this came out, there was a thing with American wrestlers on cards that you could get in the game.
You asked me about that earlier, and I sure don't remember any American wrestlers.
I don't remember any. I would not know anything.
What was the cards in the game then?
They're basically troops. So basically, you like. So there's this like side. So some point in the game, you get introduced to this side activity where you can take on these missions where you go into this.
When you become
like,
a captain.
Yeah.
It's when you get promoted to the position of captain in the Shinsengumi, and those are the troops from your what do they call them? The
troops.
Yeah, like squad. They have a name squad, for it in game. Yeah. Can't quite remember.
Okay, gotcha.
But they never show up. Like, they're just cards. And what they do is they activate certain abilities, and I think they buff up maybe your health and your attack in certain cases or throughout.
There were ways to, like, actually buy them, you know, kind of like through currency online. I never found any need that you actually had to do that. You could just get the ones through the game and level them up and, you know, be perfectly fine.
Yeah, I feel like, you can get them in a few other ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, when it started, I really thought this was going to be like a tower defense mini game or something where you have to like assign troops to do certain things, and it's never that. If you do the actual side activity, it's just Ryoma running around like caves or wherever the missions are, and
it's fighting enemies
on his own.
Yeah, it's just like. Yeah, the side missions are just like him going through this cave because I don't even know why you're doing that.
Well, there was a weird strategy battle mini game I want to say in Yakuza 7.
Are you talking about the clan creator thing? Because that's in 6 and Kiwami 2.
Okay, but I'm mistaking it for something else then.
Haven't they always had stuff like that? Like like Majima Construction had something where there was some kind of.
Yeah, that's
Kiwami 2.
Yeah,
battle game. Yeah,
yeah. That's the clan creator thing I was talking about.
Okay, and they all have one thing in common. I didn't do any of them.
Well, the clan creator shit's not worth doing, honestly. and they're going through the whatever the fuck those missions in the cave and this are called. I don't know. I did a few of them, and it's like I got a little extra money, so that's something.
I mean, that's always something you do in these games. It's like, it's the correct way to play them is to find the stuff you enjoy and play with that. And, you know, the stuff you don't like, just ignore because very little of it is required.
Is there a mini game that makes you rich like some of the other games?
Not really. I don't think so.
I didn't come across one. Not that I remember. Yeah, there's no like the land management mini game from Zero where
there's
you just
gambling dens, of course.
Yeah, there's gambling.
You could get
as
rich
always.
With that, including poker. They had to represent poker because if it was just ancient like or traditional Japanese games, you'd be nonplussed to figure out how to play most of it. For me, I think I've never been very good at like figuring out mahjong rules.
No.
I actually tried. I played a bit of Mahjong in this, and I think I slightly know what I'm doing now, but not enough to like be any good at it. But
I know as far as like where it dovetails with like Rummy, I get it. But It has quite a few, I think, other rules besides that that I just don't know.
Yeah, because I think I literally just I would it's literally like just now I just playing Mage on in this game that I just realized what you're supposed to actually like fucking put the like tablet things down that you don't need, and you have to keep the ones you're trying to match in your hand on you.
Apparently there's a
And
there are
also,
missions, oh, they're called courtesan missions. I never ran into them. I don't even know where they are. They must be in a building somewhere.
I literally have no idea
Like a
what you're
hostess
even
club kind
talking
of.
about.
I was about
Oh
to
yeah.
ask
I
if that
think
was the equivalent.
there actually
that's
is
what I'm
kind of,
thinking.
I did encounter something like that once playing this, and it was basically just like it's basically just like, oh, you play like a mini game with them. I only did it once, so I didn't really get to see that much of that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's Yakuza, but
Well, I mean, this is what happens when I'm trying to rush through this to finish it on time.
Well, I admire the devotion.
I mean, I was never really motivated to seek out a lot of that other stuff. You know, I
Yeah, I
dabbled a
just.
little bit in the farming, but I didn't really, that's the thing. I didn't really care too much about the world here. So I didn't like in I think it was in Zero or in whatever game I spent like hours and hours doing the hostess club. It must have been Zero
That
because
was
that's what
zero.
okay. Yeah,
Yeah, zero.
for
Yeah,
which
God.
I will say I still from time to time go on YouTube and call up the soundtrack from the hostess club. It is good
That's called
in a
Stockholm Syndrome.
yeah. No,
Yeah.
it, but like unironically, I will listen to it and smile because man, the memories. But I didn't care to like even figure out where is the hostess club here. I just this one, I was happy enough just going through the story and side quests, the side stories.
So did you not do any of the like chicken racing? I mean, that was the one I
No,
kind of got into.
it's another thing I routinely skip in Yakuza games is I don't do chicken racing or pocket circuit, you know, any of that I don't really do unless the game forces me to, and then I only do it that one time. You can
The only
imagine
like
how.
mini game that I skip is fucking is Mahjong. Like I will do whatever
Yeah.
silly mini game the game has built like five sub stories around. I will learn your kart racing.
Yeah.
You can
I'm not
imagine
going to
how.
miss out on stuff like Nugget, if I'm not going to do the bowling. I'll get good enough at the
Nugget.
bowling so that I can,
I
throw
followed
a
Pocket
turkey.
Circuit Fighter's story through three video games.
Hell yeah, I
You can
did.
imagine my confusion in Yakuza 6 when I ran into Pocket Racer Champion,
Yeah.
and he was
Pocket
really
Circuit
happy to see
Fighter.
me, and I was highly confused who this guy
Oh,
was.
I fucking recognized him.
Nope.
I recognized him the second he showed up.
Yeah, because you probably did the racing stuff.
Yeah, I sure
Like
do.
any you have not lived until you have seen Kiryu like look with bitter disappointment as his pocket circuit car goes flying off the ramp.
And he loses to like a 12-year-old.
I know, like I was gonna say the 8-year-old next to
Stuck it,
him.
Kiryu.
And see, my interest in mini games is dependent on whether or not one of the prizes you can get is an in-game soundtrack.
Oh.
You're collecting all the Sega sounds?
Yeah.
Yes, I have to. But that I imagine that that's not in this game because there's no probably no MP3 player, or if there is, they are sincerely bending rules there about
No,
time.
and also, of course, also no claw machine or a Sega arcade.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
There is racing against delivery men. As several of the side stories, I will. I did you guys notice? What do you think about that? I think like half of the side stories are meet the person like by just randomly running into him, and after like four dialogue boxes, the side story gets checked off your list as completed, and
Yes,
then the rest of it is you have to level their friendship gauge if you want to.
that fucking threw me off.
Kind of weird. Having a couple of those, I get, but like you literally have a friendship gauge with every vendor, every NPC, it seems like. And half the side stories are just that. And yeah. And again, most of that I did not do. I went shopping for the old lady several times. I provided some potions for the down on his luck, like city defender, the one that always gets beaten up by everybody. But it just took too long to level those friendship gauges, so I kind of let it go.
Yeah. The only one I finished is that veggie loving kid one.
Veggie loving kid. I fed the cat.
Come feed the cat.
Did y'all not feed the cat? How can you not?
I fed him once. I took the other cat into the bathhouse where Kiryu gets naked a few times with the cat.
I did the bathhouse cat one a couple times.
not advice you want to do in real life.
yeah, it seemed like a bad idea to do that.
I was a little disappointed. You do not want to have that little of skin around a cat at in a wet environment.
I was a little disappointed at how sparsely they used a few characters that I enjoy, or not at all in one case. I already mentioned Akiyama is not in this very much, which is kind of surprising to me. Didn't you guys say this came out right after 5?
Yeah.
They recast a bunch of them. I don't think they recast him, but yeah, no, it's just sometimes they just don't do that much.
Yeah, he didn't just... He was such a staple of 4 and 5. And the fact that the florist / bathkeeper is only in one scene kind of made me a little sad.
Yeah, God, I fucking forgot the florist was in this. Well, I mean...
That was it. that was during... Once he come back.
Yeah.
That was during... He was watching the naked fight. But, yeah. I did giggle when they brought back Dojima. He was... He was near the end.
Yeah.
Somebody you had to chase through like the castle dungeon or something like that. And I can't remember if you even fight him. it's kind of slipped my mind, but he was made to look like, well, as you can probably imagine, Dojima is like this diminutive kind of silly looking guy. And he was made to look extra silly in this game.
He is one of the characters in the series that you just love to hate. So hated him so much in the first game.
How was the voice acting in this game?
Well, I mean, great as always.
Yeah, it's the same high standard that the series always has.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I take it only in Japanese this time around?
Yeah, it's only in Japanese. Yeah.
This time around, I mean, I only ever play them in Japanese.
I don't know if I could ever do the dubs for these.
I am one of the 5 people on the planet that play in English. If I can.
I know some people that play it with dub, but especially with this one, given that it's not just Japan, but historical Japan, I can kind of understand.
And it does make the couple of times when Brits show up even more hilarious. Like they'll either be fluent in Japanese, but although you can kind of tell, it seems like there's like an awkward accent in there. Or they're just speaking English, which makes them... Like, I always chuckle at the Yakuza's view of Westerners, even in the modern series, and especially in this game. They're just strange caricatures of human beings, which I imagine is probably pretty close to what they might have seemed like at that time to somebody from that era in their suits and top hats, you know, with their canes and umbrellas and whatnot. Like the main British arms dealer, Thomas Glover, and I only remember because I'm looking at his like data right now, but during his scene, they keep repeating his name over and over. And of course, Kiryu / Ryoma / do you guys remember that he actually goes by, what's the name he goes by in this game again? Cause he's not Ryoma for most of it. Hajime, mm-hmm. Saito Hajime, I think. He keeps pronouncing it Grova, and back and forth they go over and over and over again. Hey, I just realized the innkeepers, Otose and Oreo, is one of them maybe the barkeeper from Serena?
Because
I can't remember what she would have looked like, but I feel like that's probably who that is because it also even like kind of matches the occupation. Sorry for bringing everything to a halt there.
Yeah, as I'm trying to remember.
It's just, you know, thinking out loud, but I bet it is. Because earlier I was asking, who are they? I bet that's who maybe Otose is.
Not it's that also it really... been a long time. Yeah, we don't go to Serena as much in the recent games. So it's kind of like faded from my memory.
And of course, Date is in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have Date.
Oh, I was happy to see him.
Yep.
And the fake out with him dying?
Yeah.
Which that was kind of cheap because it seemed like it was fairly well established that he was definitely dead. And then he comes back anyway.
Date is the detective, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he playing some sort of law enforcement here?
Yes.
Call it law enforcement. He's
soldier.
He's somebody
authority.
from Ryoma's, like, he's a samurai from Ryoma's hometown who also left the day Ryoma's father was killed. He either left or was exiled. I can't quite remember. And he's also on the hunt for. Is it what's the father's name? Is it Todo?
Toyo.
Toyo.
Toyo, yeah.
Toyo.
He's also on the hunt for his killer, and that's how Ryoma and him kind of link up. They run into each other, and they, you know, he says, "Oh, Date kind of recognizes him. I don't know if you remember me, but you know, I was your father's like main advisor or what have you. And well, looks like we have the same goal, and they kind of link up and run the investigation together. Like they both kind of he has an in with some of the factions or something like that. So he gets to go places that Kiryu can't.
And what role does Majima play?
Oh boy.
he plays Ojita Soji. Okita Soji. That's
until he doesn't. Until it's revealed that his name actually is Goro. Which is like, of course it is.
That twist is wild. Like,
yeah, maybe not really needed. I don't know what it really added to the story.
It added a surprise twist. That's what it added.
Yeah, surprise. Yeah. So he's go ahead.
Okay. Got some of the stories already leaving my head.
So Majima and Saejima are.
Saejima and the what's that third guy?
Well, that's the only two I remember by name, so I'm not sure who the third guy is, to be honest.
I kept thinking is he Daigo? I kept thinking he was Daigo, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. He's definitely somebody because he has a key role in this game, so you know he's some main character from somewhere, but I couldn't quite place him. But fuck it, he's not Majima or Saejima, so who cares, right? No, but yeah, so they're captains of the Shinsengumi. They're like the first and second division, I think, or something like that.
I think the idea with the twist is that, like, it's supposed to be like the big secret. That's the reason why if like anyone leaves the Shinsengumi, they're killed. I think that's why. I think that's what the point of the twist was.
And Kiryu is trying to hunt down the killer, and the only thing he has to go off of is like the certain fighting style that the killer had. And
Tenen Rishin.
Yeah, and he tracks it down to the Shinsengumi because that's where all the people in the world who use that fighting style are in this one.
Yeah, it's because it's taught. I think it's taught in this like one like dojo or something.
Or it was, yeah, and then they kind of took it into. So he joins them at first undercover, but that lasts like 5 minutes. And so Majima and Saejima become his like first, they're like kind of his like rivals. And then as the game unfolds and Kiryu starts going through the lieutenants like one after the other, like testing them out. Who's the killer? And he starts defeating them one by one. They kind of build up this mutual trust and they kind of help each other out of a couple of scrapes. And so by the game's end, they're thick as thieves, those three.
It's actually
kind of their role.
I feel like they didn't. I'm surprised the story didn't feel like it leaned into the undercover stuff as much as I was expecting.
So yeah, why? Because it just kind of dropped, like everybody immediately knows Ryoma really is.
It feels like it you would think they would really like rush up the tension of, oh, they have to make sure
he stays Ryoma, undercover.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like it doesn't like,
They did that once or twice.
Yeah, they try to do it, like, and then they're just like, okay, the mysterious cap chief guy, like, just recognizes him or something. It was like, okay, that's that, I guess.
That's that, I guess.
It is the challenging thing about the game is just keeping everyone straight, because Ryoma has, like a he has his you have to keep straight, like that Kiryu is playing, it's the Kiryu model as Ryoma, who also has the secondary,
Hajime.
undercover Hajime,
Hajime Saito.
and then, like, as we mentioned later in the game, another person shows up and starts claiming themselves to be Ryoma. And keeping all of the characters and the people straight, and there's several other people who also have aliases, and yeah, like trying to keep all the different characters straight can be a challenge.
Which is probably why it's easier just to remember who they are in the regular series and not who they're playing.
It's why you keep falling back into calling him Kiryu.
I gotcha. And it's funny because I have that problem with the regular series, is trying to keep track of all the characters.
It can be a lot. It's a big cast.
Especially all the antagonists, where there will be, like 8, 10 different people that you're, dealing with. It's like, which one is this guy? Oh, okay, yeah.
Trying to remember, like, all the different clans and
What are the relationship of all these people? You kind of need a family tree sometimes.
One of the characters that I really liked in this was Todo Heisuke. He's the general with the glasses. He, at first, he's kind of like a smart ass a little bit, and then later in the story, he becomes more important, and he ends up being kind of like well, he ends up being on the good guy side, even though he's in with the opposition as kind of like an undercover agent. And I could never figure out if he's also like a recurring character in the series.
He's Zhao in Like a Dragon. Zhao. Like, did you played Yakuza 7, right? That Zhao is one
Who's
of your party
Zhao?
members. He's one of your party members in that one.
Oh boy, I
He's
do not
the
remember.
Chinese guy.
Yeah, it's a triad one. Still don't remember. Did I mention earlier that that game has kind of receded into the mist of time for me a little bit?
Zhao was the long hair, kind of
No,
sea looking guy.
he's no. He's the, like,
leather
he's the
get jacket.
I know who you're talking
Oh, is
about.
he in Judgment at all?
Someone who's actually played Judgment would have to tell you that. So,
Yes, he was
is he
in
the
the
leader
Lost
in
Judgment.
Judgment
Lost
One?
Judgment.
I haven't finished Lost
Yeah, and
Judgment.
Lost. He's the leader of the Triad group. He
It's quite
shows up as
plausible
an,
because, yeah, that's in Yokohama.
but he's not a party member in Lost Judgment. He's in it. That's
Well,
okay. I
yeah,
do
obviously, you
remember
don't get
that.
party members in Lost Judgment.
Oh, true. Okay. See, I think I remember the Judgment games better than I do Like a Dragon 7.
That's weird to me, but I gotcha.
And I remember Zhao because he's voiced by Robbie Daymond, who's one of my favorite voice actors. Robbie Daymond voiced Prompto in Final Fantasy 15.
Love that guy.
Man, another game I was about to ask who, but please don't even get into it.
The camera boy.
Prompto's the
Right.
blonde hair guy.
He's one of the boys, but that's as far as I care
He's
to
the one with
know.
the camera.
Sure. Is he one of the ones that drives around in the car? Okay. That's enough said.
I'm bad with names, but damn it, I will play Kevin Bacon 7 6 degrees with voice actors.
Yeah.
Well, he's in this
It's always
game,
fun.
or at
It's
least
always fun to
that
recognize
character.
voice actors. It's always fun.
And
That's always fun.
I did like him. So yeah.
What else have we not talked about? Decent music
Yeah.
at all?
I
Seems
don't
pretty.
really remember it, but it's not bad. It seems
Some
pretty
of the
period appropriate.
some of the cutscene music's actually pretty nice, especially later on. I mean,
Mean,
I'm not
given
sure.
that.
I'm not sure I remember it, but I remember thinking it sounded nice at least. I
That's
mean,
often the case for me with Yakuza games, is that I when I'm playing the game, this is like really good accompaniment. After I'm done playing it, like, can I remember specific songs?
I mean,
No. It's more like a score for a movie. You know?
I mean, I do remember. I always do remember that one track that I'll sometimes play in like sub stories with some of these games.
For
me, it's the karaoke songs that are the most memorable.
The karaoke songs.
And I'm pretty sure those are original compositions for the game. Like, they're not covers of anything that I know of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to play to find out.
Yeah, I do want to try this game out because it does sound, and it's looked interesting to me, and thanks to you guys, it sounds interesting too.
It is a solid Yakuza game with a unique setting.
Yakuza has the problem then that a lot of the games are more than solid, but I guess it depends also like how you connect it to that main Yakuza narrative, right? But like, so in my mind, it's a high mountain to climb, and so this game being solid kind of places it solidly near the bottom.
Does that make any sense? I feel like it's
totally.
Yeah, it feels like one of those, like, it's one of the weaker ones. It's like a 3 out of 5, which makes it one of the weaker ones, but also that's not bad.
It's that same problem that FromSoft has, that at this point, like, an average, like, FromSoft Soulsborne game is still better than probably, like, 7/8 of the competitors out there, but may not stack up in the particular series that it's, like, a part of. So you kind of, they raise their own bar so high. But I'm not so sure that, like, was it ever meant to eclipse anything in the Yakuza series? Probably not.
It wasn't.
This is very much one of those where the RGG is, you know, like, kind of like taking all these assets and using them to do something different while still managing to keep, you know, the cost down.
I mean, I'd say play it just for sake of, like, if you play Yakuza just as a series, then it's part of it in some way.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of like off the cuff stuff that is entertaining enough. Like, I was never that bored, other than, like I said, the kind of, like, the city bored me a little bit, but it's definitely worthwhile enough, right?
Yeah.
It's very much like these games very much have a formula, and it's definitely like, and this still does it reasonably well, so, even if it's not, like, essential per se.
Yeah, that's my glowing recommendation. Sure, play it.
Yeah, it will pass the time. That's our glowing recommendation right there.
So, do we have anything else we want to add before going into the roundtable?
I'm saving my tidbit for the roundtable.
I should mention this. I played this game on my OG PS4. And there's definitely some technical issues if you're playing on there. It's mostly fine, but there's actually a point late in the game where like a Kyo is like set on fire, and I remember like the frame rate, like when you're like exploring like through the burning like areas, like the PS4 is like just struggles so hard with that framework wise. So there's like a chunk, there's like that small chunk where it's like, it's just like completely unplayable. It's hilarious now that I'm thinking about it.
And then the next morning, it's literally back to business as usual. Yeah. Even though all the rooftops are like smoldering ruins, but every shop's open.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was so fucking hilarious. Because when I was going through that section, I stopped by a restaurant in one of those restaurants where they're like, well, you know, the town's in a panic right now, the city's in a panic right now, but I guess we can't turn around.
The pawn shop guy says something similar during the fire. If you go in there to sell off some of your stuff, he makes a comment about there seems to be some commotion outside. Anyway, what do you want to sell? It's like there's fire in your doorway. Your shop is on fire.
It's like, dude, do you not? You're supposed to get out of there, man. Like,
hey, it's capitalism, man.
Well, that's true. Capital, yeah. Capitalism will just.
Talking about price and availability, I, for some reason, had in my head that this one didn't get a physical release in the West, but I
Oh no,
go.
it absolutely did, because I actually bought a used copy online.
Yeah, and physical is probably your best bet because like on Steam it's $60. The physical version is like 25 at GameStop, and it's on sale on PSN right now for $11. So I say if you're gonna pick up this game, kind of wait for a sale because you'll probably be able to get it for a song. I don't think I paid more than 10, or no, more than 15.
I paid like 30 for this used copy.
Yeah.
And weirdly, if it's the DLC pamphlet wasn't redeemed, so I was actually able to redeem it.
I'd say buy it after you play the remake of after you play Kiwami 3. And I'm not even sold that I'm going to replay that, but man, I have this weird soft spot for 3.
Yeah, I have a pretty big soft spot for 3 because it was literally the first one I played.
Same, same.
So are you guys going to play Kiwami 3?
I just replayed it when they did the HD collection, so I don't know.
I look at that and I'm like, it's not my baby, so
No, it'll never replace OG 3.
I have not played 3 since 2000. I have not replayed it since like 2012.
yeah,
It's all
yeah,
good.
I played it once when it came out back in high school. God, that was such a long time ago.
I still need to play Kiwami 2, which is our
Yeah,
next show, which I
two
didn't.
weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to this year,
Hey, it's just coming out again. It's perfect. It's timely.
and it, I forgot, is Kiwami the Kiwami 2 remake for Switch 2 already out, or is that
That
coming?
is out this Friday.
Okay, because to be honest, I might just play that version, even though I bought like all of them for like $20 on a PSN sale, but
Nice and portable. That'll help.
Kiwami 2 supposedly is going to be like the director's cut from what I've heard.
I think it's got a dub now or something. I don't know.
Okay.
They
Yeah, I
gotta
think,
give it something new, I guess.
they gotta add the dubs to these, so.
But yeah, I might need to just hold off until I have some free time. Gosh, when is that going to be? And then just play these newer versions, since these newer versions are going to play a little bit better.
I mean, as long as you play 3 in some shape or form, you
Yeah,
win.
because Kiwami 3 is supposed to come out sometime next
In like
year.
February.
Okay, and
And
I
that comes
know,
out on just everything.
and I could tell we're getting towards the roundtable because we're on a tangent. But what I remember about 3 was that when it released here, there was a lot of stuff that got cut out just to be able to get it here. And from what I understand, all of that's going to be restored in Kiwami 3.
Yeah, a lot of that was already in the HD
Yeah.
collection they
Oh.
did.
Oh, right. I forgot about the
Yeah,
HD
like
collection.
the big thing that they're adding for Kiwami 3 is, well, one, that it'll be a Dragon Engine game, and two, that they're adding like a big like Gaiden style side story for one of the characters.
Okay.
Which character is it for? Because I remember hearing that too.
Mine.
And who is Mine?
He's the villain?
Who's the
Yeah.
villain?
Oh, really? Okay. I'm not sure if I even remember the villain.
Yoshitaka
Yeah. It's been so long since I played the Yakuza 3, so that's why it's a little bit of a blur.
Mine. Yeah, like I said, it's been a very long time since I played 3,
Like
so
I
I
said,
can
high
happily
school,
play
long time
Kiwami
ago.
3.
And th
I
there's
did.
probably no chance that we're going to get whatever the second Samurai game is for
Kenzan was
Kenzan.
the first samurai game. They already skipped it.
Yeah,
I
that's
don't see it
okay.
coming
That
back.
was actually the first PS3 one, actually, if I remember
Yeah, like
correctly.
the series goes 1, 2, Kenzan 3.
Okay. I'm always confused because I thought, well, there was two Samurai games, but then there wasn't. But apparently there is, but nobody likes it.
No, it was popular. It was very well liked at the time. It's just they did not feel they were for what I don't know what the reasoning is, but they do not seem interested in bringing that one back.
Gotcha.
I have to wonder if there's like some legal stuff with that one because they can run into that sometimes.
Like there has to be some sort of internal reason for the reticence behind Kenzan, but I can't for the life of me figure out what specifically it is, because like for a long time they said Oh, well, we don't know if we need to do like Kiwami 3 because we did the HD collection and they fucking did it anyway, so.
Yeah, they sure did anyway.
Oh, speaking of Mine, are we still speaking of him, by the way?
No.
He's the third guy in the Shinsengumi. He's the leader. The one that might have been Ryan, who you were talking about. We couldn't like figure out who the third is. It's
Majima, they call it Daijima,
and Mine. I clicked on him and there he goes. Mine.
I swear, I thought I recognized him. I don't...
Unless we are talking about somebody different, but the one that I was referring to, I'm kind of looking as you guys are talking, and yeah, that's him, Mine. And so now I know who that is from the third game.
I should probably replay Yakuza 3.
And boy, when you talk about lost Yakuza games, what about the PSP ones that are lost to time?
Kudohio, those were made by a third party, so that would make them even more complicated to bring back.
Ah, gotcha.
I mean, they do have fan translations, at least.
Yeah, there is a fan translation for both Kurohyo and Kurohyo 2, which is more than can be said for Kanzan.
Because I was under the impression that those were the equivalent of the GTA PSP games that didn't really contribute a whole lot.
I mean, they're side stories, same as ever. Like, they're not bad. Like, Sin Sophia is a good developer that used to make a lot of wrestling games, so they kind of know how to do one-on-one fights, but you know, they are definitely spin-off games and they're aimed at a slightly younger audience.
Gotcha. Well, I think we're ready for a break and a round table. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Let's take that break. Welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are now talking about the roundtable, our favorite moments, our memories, all sorts of stuff. Like always, I like to ask, what was your favorite moment from the game?
Oh, I mean, we already kind of talked about it, but that bathhouse fight between Ryoma and Saigo was just with the little clouds of steam that followed around their naughty bits as you go around the bathhouse was just like perfect. Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss right onto the digital man nipple.
Pascal, did you have one?
Yeah, that was a pretty strong one. But so if there's anything I'm going to remember about this game, I feel like this is finally the game that gave Kiryu and Majima a really like heartfelt moment of connection. Like it's. I mean, it kind of builds up throughout the game. First they fight, then they're allies of sorts, then they fight again. You do have to like fight Majima and Saijima twice throughout the story. The second time might be optional, but their boss fights show back up. And even after all that, after several beatdowns have been administered and there's like mutual respect, things in the story kind of happen to where... So what happens is it's revealed that one of the other lieutenants who gets like shot in the back, I think, like he gets assassinated, turned out to be Majima's former master. So Majima's like really kind of broken up about it. And one of the things that he wants, like one of the reasons he kind of joins Kiryu through the last like leg of the game is because he also wants like revenge for his master. And he... I can't remember the exact context, but he is so emotional about it that he kind of like threatens Kiryu with it. Like, you know, something along the lines of like, even though we're brothers now, if you, I forget exactly what he says, but like, if you deny me this chance at revenge, or if you get in my way of revenge or whatever it is, something like that, I will cut you down, you know? And despite like how vicious that sounds, it also it's like a level of this level of connection that I don't think I've ever seen Kiryu and Majima have before, to where it's important enough to them to like make death threats to each other, which I thought was really cool. I think there's also a moment where Kiryu kind of has like this, like a really cool speech near the end, but I can't quite recall that enough to talk about it. But it just kind of like plays into that same thing where their connection is built up. I think built up in a way that's almost better than any other game. Zero could have had that if they had interacted more, but this is the next best thing to it, I think. So yeah, that's my pick. It's the one thing that this game does better, I think, than the main series, the whole Kiryu Majima relationship.
I guess that is the one thing that this allows them to do, you know, like they can kind of just do it here with the blank slate that they don't have all of the, you know,
baggage,
all the baggage. Exactly. Well,
I mean, they did try it with the Majima Everywhere stuff in Kiwami 1, but yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from, Pascal.
Well, he's always had interesting interactions with Kiryu.
Yeah.
For sure. But I think in the main series, especially as you get into like 4 or 5, and actually even in the Kiwami games, his backstory with Saijima is already like hinted at early on, and then it's fleshed out in 4 or 5, or probably 4 and 5. And then Majima becomes more of a Saijima guy, you know, and less all about Kiryu, I feel like.
Yeah.
And here he was able to have that.
Yeah. Majima is very much like Kiryu, very much like, go on. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, that's about it. But it made my heart happy to hear the original voice actor, like frequently and liberally near the end, just call out like with joy, Hajime-san.
That is pretty funny. David, did you have a favorite moment?
I'm mentally dead, and I played this game like 2 years ago.
Okay, Ryan, did you have anything?
I can't think of anything specific for me.
Okay, we can move on to our favorite characters.
Oh well, it's Soji, Majima, of course, right?
Well, yeah, of course it's Soji.
Kind of not fair.
I did love that the chief guy. I just love that the chief guy of the Shinsengumi is literally Adachi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually curious who.
Kondo Isami?
Yeah, Kondo Isami.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm actually curious what the face actor guy was for in the original Ishin. I'm curious what the equivalent was. So why don't you look that up? But anyway, I don't really have much to say.
I guess Soji is the safe bet, right?
Yeah.
I almost kind of want to abstain, because anybody I name in large part would just be like, that's because that's my favorite character in the main Yakuza series. As far as like, Ishin specifically, there wasn't a lot of characters that stood out for me just from this game on its own. It was usually like, oh, I like that character because I like so-and-so from Yakuza 2 or 3 or 4.
I mean, that's just one of those things that you're going to run into in a game like this.
Right, of course. But I don't want to name somebody my favorite character from a different game, and in this game they were just kind of like there, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, so, I get it. You want them to kind of be their own character and not necessarily who they were.
Maybe we were talking about Heisuke earlier with the glasses. He was pretty neat. Like, there were neat characters. I struggle like saying who's like a standout favorite.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of hard to say standout favorites for this one.
So
maybe even the villain. I like a good conflicted.
Yeah, Hanpeita? Hanpeita?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what? Yeah, Hanpeita's probably it.
Because I honestly, I was rooting for him at the end. Like, come on, come around. You can be friends again. Do it. Be brothers.
Yep. They sure were. They sure stayed brothers at the end.
Anybody else have any favorite characters they want to say? No? Okay, we can move on. Favorite side quest? Because that's the thing in Yakuza games is it's all about the side quests.
Always about the side quests. I really, like I don't know if many of those friendship quests were, as Pascal mentioned, some of them were a little A little thin, but I did, but I did really enjoy. There was one that you had where you meet this little kid and he's in a fight with his mom over him being a picky eater. And you go up to it, and it's because his mom always just wants to feed him meat, and all he
Tofu.
wants to, tofu, and all he wants to eat is veggies. And so you have
Yeah.
this friendship side quest that goes across the entire game where you're growing the veggies in your garden and you bring him veggies for him to eat and he's super thankful for you.
Yeah, I definitely made sure to give him a veggie anytime I passed by him.
I love
That's
the
cute though.
flipping things on your head.
I love that. Like he just initially says, "Oh yeah, I remember, Ryoma like just is like, oh yeah, I remember hating the veggies too." And then it turns out he loves veggies. Kid loves veggies.
Like, no, I love them. They're awesome.
Yeah,
Like, okay,
I
kid,
can't have enough of
whatever.
them.
I'm right there with you, kid.
I also picked a veggie quest, but a different one. There's a lady you run into in the red light district, and she wants
Oh
a
yeah.
carrot, and only big, strong Kiryu has the right carrot for what she needs. Oh, she needs it. Please satisfy her desire for a carrot, things like that. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm hitting the exact dialogue, probably. And very suggestive poses and moans while she's doing it. And after you bring her the carrot, next thing she wants is a cucumber, and then I believe an eggplant. And that's about where I noped out, because other story things needed to happen, and I was finishing the game. And I'm fairly sure that by the end, it was probably her also putting together a veggie salad at home. It's what it's going to end up being, like something very, very innocuous. But that was a at least an entertaining way of like presenting it, because she is highly suggestive about everything.
I mean, way to leave us hanging.
Man,
Yeah.
I mean that's kind of a shame. I had to rush through this game because some that side quest sounds pretty.
It's unfortunately, it would have been better to just be a single side story rather than a continuous friendship quest, because then I can spend,
Oh yeah.
6 or 7 minutes reading a little story, and then it's over. But this one, she also disappears in between, so you have to, I don't know if you have just have to leave the screen, or if you have to literally come back, I don't, the next
Yeah,
day or
yeah.
chapter.
I think
But it's just
yeah. They,
repeatedly, and eventually you just kind of grow tired of it.
yeah. You generally have to. I think they generally like want you to take some time between them. Like you can't just do it
Yeah.
back to back.
It feels too much like checking a box just to get that eventual payoff, and that wasn't really worth it for me. And because again, I'm sure I know where it's going, probably, right?
I mean the veggie kid actually has a pretty good payoff at least.
And I'm sure that the end of that quest is something completely innocent, because that's the joke.
Like you're led to assume it's a sex thing, and it's not.
Of course. Want me to mention
It's
Sam's from earlier
yeah, we can.
as an honorary mention? So Sam's favorite side quest was Kiryu Wanna Be a Mom or something like that. I don't know what it's called in the game, which is a bunch of neighborhood kids bully Kiryu into playing house with them. Like they when he tries to refuse and walk away, they start crying and like passerby start turning their heads like, what is that man doing? Did you make those children cry? So Kiryu begrudgingly agrees to play like make-believe house, and he ends up being cast in the role of the mother, while the other ones are like the father and the samurai and the son or daughter, I can't remember. And so his you have to pick like the responses that he gives to certain dialogue choices, and it has to be considered as like the role of the mother, and you get to like read his internal thought process about like the situation as it's going on. It's just kind of bizarre. It's funny, and that one is actually a side story. You just do it once and it concludes right away.
Any side quest where Kiryu has to be out of character is some of the best side quests just because of how funny they are.
I imagine that I mean, I just played it, but I would think that's probably one point of the game where he drops his nani.
Oh, I'm sure. Anybody else have a favorite side quest they want to talk about? No? Okay.
I'm trying to think if I can think of one.
It's tough when you blow through the game quickly.
Yeah.
I know how that is. It all kind of becomes a mush.
Oh, wait. Let's see. I did counter that one where that woman just talks so much, but I didn't finish her.
Yeah, that's a funny one.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I finished her, I wish I finished all. I know that, I think there was at least one more I had to do, but you know what happened? It slipped through the cracks.
Oh, God, I couldn't bring myself to do, I only did the one interaction with her. I never went back.
I mean, it is kind of funny, but yeah, it's a lot.
So she's known in town as being like a person who will not shut up. And she says it's cost her like every friend she's had in town. Everybody avoids her, crosses the streets or not, so as not to talk to her. And to prove it, she literally, well, not literally, but she starts talking Kiryu's ear off. And it does go on forever. And then she quizzes you about what she's told you.
And you have to answer it. And I love it because a couple of times Ryoma will just be clearly nodding off. So you have to make sure you like pay attention so that when she quizzes you, you get the answers right.
That is a funny idea for a really dumb sub story.
Yeah,
slightly painful.
Yeah, it's one of those. Oh boy, you definitely. I feel like you definitely at least. You probably know this kind of person at least once in your life. So,
mm-hmm. Heck, according to my husband, I am that kind of person.
They're like, I've been that person tonight a little bit.
Because I'm not the most talkative.
So do we have any memories tied to this game? I know you just got done playing it, Ryan. So
what game are we talking about?
Like a Dragon Ishin.
Wait, what? No. I'm not sure what you're referring to. I can't remember this game you're talking about already.
I mean, I sure did play it for the past week and a half. So that's my memories of this.
So you speed ran.
Well, yeah. Well, it's not even so much speed. Well, okay. After a point, it basically was speed running. That.
I love that when your memory of a game is, I sure did play it. But that's fair.
I didn't have a bad time with it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the devotion. I do appreciate it. Because, I mean, our site rule is that you have to beat the game to review it. My rule is that if you've played it enough just to talk about it, you're fine.
I mean, I didn't finish. I still haven't finished Lies of P, but I still showed up for that one.
Mm-hmm. There's been a couple that I didn't quite finish that I still did the backtrack for, so... There we go. Anybody else have any memories?
Yeah, I remember it came out right when I was in the middle of moving. And so I kind of had to sit on it for a little bit. And it kind of became like the first game I played when I moved into my new house.
Oh, God, that sucks when there's something that you're looking forward to. When you're in the middle of moving and you know you're going to have no time.
Yeah. Because it came out right at the end of February. That was when I closed. And then I had like 2 weeks to move everything out of my place in D.C. So it was like, yeah, I can't touch this right now.
Because that's what happened to me with Lightning Returns. It came out literally the week that we was having to clean out the apartment. And I didn't get to that game until like a year later because I knew I wouldn't have time for it. And then it kind of fell off my radar.
Yeah.
But then when you got to it, you was like, man, I wish I could have gotten to this sooner.
Well, thankfully this one didn't take me too much longer.
Yeah. Any other memories or are we ready to put a bow on this?
For me, it's just, I'm trying to play the Yakuza games like in release order or at least, well, Western release order. So this was the second one I've played this year. I did Lost Judgment and now this one. And for next year, I've got, what is it? Man and... infinite whatever the hell it's called.
Infinite wealth.
Yeah. And Man Without a Face, or I forget what all their names are, but so I'm catching up. I'm close. I'm almost there. A couple more years and I'll be caught up.
And next week we've got Kiwami 2.
Well, next 2 weeks.
I'm sorry, next 2 weeks. My brain is a little bit off because of the Kimco alert and having to double up week to week.
Just stop there. Your brain is off because of the Kimco alert.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about doing a 2 week schedule is that if we need to push a week because of sickness or having to take the day off or whatnot, we can. The problem is trying to remember, like, oh, yeah, we don't have the gap this time. We have to do one then right after the other. But so it's kind of a trade-off, but I think it works out fairly well.
And next time we can actually talk about the characters by who they really are.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and it'll be just in time for the Switch 2 release, I believe. It comes out this week.
Comes out on PS5 and Xbox Series as well, I believe.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. That being said, thank you, Josh, Ryan, Pascal, and David, for hanging out with us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Thank you, Matt, who I could not do the show without.
You are welcome, as always.
And thank you, listener, for hanging out with us tonight. Tune in for a pair of weeks where we're going to bring in Yakuza Kiwami 2. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your week, and we shall see you soon.